We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. 1 o'clock in the district. No, that wasn't English. Try again. 1 o'clock in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. I'm out in Ashburn at Commander's Training Camp. All our Commanders Training Camp coverage brought to you by Paul Henry and his window company. Paul's a good dude. Hit him up, paulhenrywindows.com. Now, to talk some Commanders, our guy Ben Standig does a great job covering the team for The Athletic. You can check out the Standig Room Only podcast. And Benny wrote a story this weekend that caught my eye for The Athletic, where he talked about folks that are trending up and trending down through 2 weeks of training camp, including Saturday night's practice at FedEx Field. Benny, what up, man? How you doing, bud?
JP, I'm doing well. Had some air conditioning for a few minutes. I know you could use some. It was needed. So I'm doing okay, better than I was an hour ago.
Good for you. So what, you head to the annex for this little AC?
Yeah, went to the annex for the media room. I actually just walked outside. There's some activity going on in there. So I walked outside and I got some shade. We're hanging in there. I don't have your truck set up, but, you know, we'll get by.
Well, my tent is collapsing. So we're going to do some tent talk at 1:30. I'm getting some tweets from people that saw my tent and are worried about me. And Landfill's making moves and trying to obtain a new tent for me. I don't think this thing would make it through the week. We've got multiple broken arms. I don't know what you would call these, but it's struggling. I sent Landfill a bunch of pictures. He can tweet them out. We need a new tent, folks. But let's talk about your story from yesterday, because I think it's pretty accurate and fair of what we've seen out here for the past now 2 weeks. Who are some of the guys for the Commanders you think are stock is trending up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it almost seems obvious to say Jahan Dotson, but it's important because, from, you know, he doesn't look like a rookie at all. I'm sure if we ask the coaches, you know, they can quibble on this or that, but for the most part, he just looks like he's been there, done that out here. He's you know, one of the guys that he has developed a good connection with Carson Wentz so far, and he just looks poised and smooth. It's really, you know, typically rookies, no matter what position, you notice something. Some rawness, some over-eagerness. He just feels like he belongs. And, you know, we've seen that going back to the offseason program, and that's just continued here. And then, like, you know, on some more, like, subtle level, you know, a guy like Wes Schweitzer, like, obviously a guy we talk about a ton for, you know, offensive linemen in general, we don't. And he's probably not projected to start. But, like, that middle of that line, Chase Rouye, obviously, he's off the pup, but he hasn't practiced yet. Trey Turner hasn't practiced, you know, over a week now, I think, with a quad injury. And it's getting, you know, the longer this goes, the more it's like, wait, is Wes Schweitzer going to actually end up starting in one of those spots? And, you know, I think he's proven to be a pretty valuable piece for them. And, you know, needless to say, the offensive line's going to have a good showing. No Brandon Scherff. You got Carson Wentz. Protect him. So I think Schweitzer is a guy who, you know, I think his stock is rising from the standpoint of, like, what his role may end up becoming once we get to week one.
Well, and I think Schweitzer, throughout kind of his time here, when he's gotten opportunities, has been good on the field. And I think that's whether that's at center or at guard, to your point. And there's a lot of value in having somebody that can play multiple positions for the group. I think Dotson has looked good. I think the tight ends have looked good, even without Logan Thomas playing and really even without John Bates playing. But now that tight end group continues to be kind of interesting. Cole Turner's missing time. John Bates was back. Even a guy like Curtis Hodges or Amani Rodgers is starting to turn heads. As far as a unexpected positive, I would put the tight end group up there, wouldn't you?
Yes and no. I mean, Cole Turner in general has looked pretty good, right, throughout camp as a pass catcher. But the one thing I do wonder here is, and obviously this is hard for me to say because it's a little bit of a medical situation, but, you know, he got banged the other day by Percy Butler, maybe a couple other guys out after a catch, and that he immediately left the field and went off. That yeah. Rivera told us he had a hamstring injury, hasn't been back since. And one thing you wonder with a guy like that, his 6'6", that lanky frame, he's not the most physical of guys, not a stout body per se. How does he hold up over the course of a year? And that's, I'm not going to say he won't, but that's one of those things where that's we don't get a great feel right now until these guys start getting hit, and he got hit that time, and maybe he just wasn't expecting it to a degree. But Armani Rogers, a guy we haven't talked about at all, and with good reason, college quarterback playing tight end. He had like three nice catches today, I thought. Like I said, Cole Turner's done good. Hodges was a guy who caught some eyes earlier on in the offseason. So, yeah, it's an interesting group, but ultimately it's going to come down to when does Logan Thomas get back? John Bates is out there today. That's a good sign. But it's Logan Thomas and then a bunch of kids that, are still kind of learning their way.
I mean, and our boy Pete asked Ron for a little Logan Thomas update and got thoroughly shut down, I thought.
Yeah, we've all been there when you ask the question, particularly about injuries, and Ron gives you like the 5-second and the five word answer when you're expecting him to talk for 30 seconds, and you're like, oh, okay, that's it? Okay,
right.
Well, I guess we'll move on.
Yeah. Hey, coach, how's that player doing? He is still breathing. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, appreciate it. Let's switch to the other side of your story, which was players that have underperformed through 2 weeks of camp. Who kind of lands on that list for you?
Well, I mean, I think, Curtis Samuel certainly has been there. Now, at least he's been playing, right? So I guess you could almost say it's an up relative to last year. But the fact that they've had to nurse him through these practices, even today, right? He's out there today, good sign. But when asked about tomorrow, Rivera basically said, yeah, he's probably not going to go. So, again, the fact that they feel that they have to nurse him all the way through this training camp, what does that say about his situation once he starts getting hit? We'll see. Maybe this is a great approach, but right now it feels a little stressful in terms of like relying on him over the course of the year. And then look, obviously, I think Carson Wentz. Now, to a degree, maybe stock down is not fair. Maybe it's just real. It's just what expectations were. But I'm sort of going off of me seeing him for the first time. Right? I mean, we knew he was not the most accurate quarterback in the world. The completion percentage just says as much. But watching him in practice, whether he's in 11-on-11s or just throwing to receivers against air, he definitely is not on target a lot. And, to me, now that I'm seeing it, his arm strength raises the ceiling of this offense. I say that over and over again, and that's true. But the inaccuracy is going to stall drives. And through 2 weeks or whatever this is, 10 days, 11 practices, that definitely to me is – now that I'm seeing it day after day, it's a little more concerning. There's still some good things. He's still learning. It's still, relatively early for him. But at the same point, that's been an issue for him in his career. And seeing it day after day makes me feel a little bit less optimistic than I was, a few weeks ago.
See, I both agree and disagree with you a little bit. I think you can kind of count on what Carson Wentz will be. And I think it'll be pretty good, like a B. Maybe it's a B minus, maybe it's a B plus, but I think they haven't gotten that level of quarterbacking in a few years. And
right.
it depends what the question is. Like, does Carson Wentz give this Commanders team a real shot at winning the Super Bowl? I don't think so, frankly. Does Carson Wentz give this team a real shot, I would even say, of winning the NFC East or making the playoffs this year? Yeah, I think he does. They won 7 last year with some crazy COVID situations. Heinicke played admirably in some spots, played terribly in other spots. I think the baseline for Wentz is higher than the baseline for Heinicke. And that's not to suggest that Wentz isn't going to have some awful games, or some awful plays, some awful situations. Like, it's documented. Those things happen. But I think his baseline is going to be better. And I'm curious if you agree with that or if you're kind of even more scared off by these first 2 weeks to allow for that.
No, I mean, I agree. Look, I mean, their ceiling, like I said, was raised with the acquisition of Carson Wentz. He projects to be their best quarterback since, Kirk Cousins or a healthy Alex Smith. And, that's not nothing. They have the weapons to get the ball down the field, obviously. So, and obviously, look, the defense has to play a ton better than it did last year for them to have a real shot to compete for a wild card or the division. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying Wentz can't get it done. And, look, we haven't seen him play any kind of game yet, right? Practice is a kind of a weird setup at times. The defense doesn't have to really respect the run game because it's not much of that. And it kind of everybody kind of knows what's happening. You're just going through situations and so on. There's no game plan. So we won't get a full look at what Carson Wentz will be and what he'll do for the team until they get out actually on the field. Maybe we'll see some of that Saturday against the Panthers, but, you know, that's probably going to be a light situation as well. So I agree there's upside. I guess it's just, like I said, watching when you hear about a guy not being the most accurate, you know, what does that mean? I think ultimately he can be 62-63% passer, but if he's hitting the balls down the field, right, the big plays, the big chunk yards, right, then that maybe offsets it. But that's going to be the question is, does he hit enough of those to offset the inconsistencies play to play? And that's kind of what I'm seeing more of in practice because they're not in real gaming situations.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. I found this kind of an interesting process or concept here. Now, the scales are much different to compare them. And I want to be clear on that because Carson is being graded on a scale as a QB1, a true difference maker quarterback in the NFL. And then Heinicke's being graded on a backup quarterback scale. And then Sam Howell, the rookie draft pick, is being, I think, graded on a fifth round scale, right? Like, this is a fifth round rookie quarterback. But to their scale, to their scale of what those expectations are, I think you could make an argument that Howell has graded out the best.
Yeah, I would say right on that sort of pound-for-pound level, giving them each the level that we're looking at. Yeah, I think Sam Howell looked pretty solid. I mean, he looked composed in the pocket. He's got the arm strength. We knew that already. I think he's looked good. He's had, you know, If we did the bit of, like, on any given day, which quarterback had the best throw, just that one element, I think Hal would have won a few times. He's had some nice plays. Obviously, again, you know, one, he's not going against the starters, and two, this isn't real life, real game situations. But, yeah, I think he's looked pretty good. And, you know, look, the reality is he slipped all the way to the fifth round, but the fact that everybody was considering him to be not just a first-round pick going into last college season, but maybe the number one pick in the draft, like, there is talent there. The question is, you know, what happened to Carolina that they lost a lot of talent, the Tar Heels did, from the previous year to last year, and having his play dropped off accordingly. Clearly most of the league decided, hey, you know, this guy's not for us to let him go all the way to the fifth, but there's some talent there. You know, whether he can realize it to become a starter, that's a ways off. But, yeah, I think relatively speaking, he's been pretty good for, like you said, for based on the expectations of kind of what he is.
I agree with you, dude. I think I've been pleasantly surprised by him, if that's fair. And the arm strength, he has serious zip on the ball. And his body's a little interesting. Like, he's a little shorter than you'd expect. And he's like a pretty stocky kind of barrel-chested guy, which quarterbacks tend to be a little, like, longer and leaner. I truly think that if he was 2 inches taller, and I don't know, what they list him at 5'11", 6 foot, that's about what he is. If he was 6'2", or 6'3", I think he would have gone in the first round, even with kind of the subpar last year at Carolina. And I was talking with some college coaches last week. He was running for his life on every snap in that Carolina offense, and they kind of changed it to a ton of RPOs. He posted a bunch of rushing yards. I don't know. Howell's intriguing. I am much more intrigued than maybe I was expecting. Looking ahead to this thing, being there at FedEx Field the other night, you know, we're only 34 days away from week one against the Jags. What are your expectations for week one, kind of crowd-wise, performance-wise, all of it?
I mean, crowd-wise, I guess I'm not going to have a ton of expectations. I mean, it is the Jags. Like, it is week one. That's an exciting week, no matter what, you know, no matter what your outlook is for a given team. It's week one, anything's possible. But it's the Jaguars, not the most exciting of opponents, so there's that. But, you know, I would think whatever the crowd was last year, you know, probably something similar to that. Beyond that, I mean, you know, look, I mean, most of the NFL is projects somewhere in that 7-8-9 win range. And then the question is injuries and certain bounces of the ball, right? Do you get lucky that the tips go your way and land where you want them to and that gives you some extra wins, or does it go the other way? Obviously, last year this team had, you know, a bunch of injuries and the COVID situation wrecked things late in the year. You know, they also had the injuries to Chase Young and Montez Sweat, and they still won 7 games. So, you know, like you said, I mean, Carson Wentz gives you, you know, no disrespect to Heineke, but Carson Wentz gives you a bigger potential. If the defense just is middle of the pack, those two things alone could get you to 9-10. But, you know, I'm not there right now. I don't, maybe I'd never get there before the season starts. But, you know, I think there is hope, but I need to see more. Like I said, maybe seeing Wentz in preseason will help that. And also seeing the defense. The defense has looked good in camp, for sure. But, you know, let's see what it looks like to whatever degree we see them in the real games. I think there's some hope, but like I said, it's just most of this league is going to fit in that range. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just not sold if I'm going to say 7 wins or 9 wins, but sort of somewhere in there. Again,
I agree with you, and it's they've won 7 2 years in a row, so I think that's a fairly safe expectation. You know what I mean?
Right.
They've proven that to be a pretty popular number. I don't know enough. I what I can't figure out is how much, if any, like momentum they have. You know what I mean? Like, is there juice? Like, will that stadium be jumping? Are people going to be singing Hail to the Commanders? Like, it's an interesting thing out here in Ashburn because we know they started with the lottery and that kind of was a flop, so there was nobody here, and now they're letting people in and it's way more crowded, kind of back to normal. But it's still less than Richmond, but the setup isn't as, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's all, I don't know. It's going to be pretty fascinating to watch. Talking with our friend Ben Standig from The Athletic DC. Give him a follow at Ben Standig. You can listen to his podcast. He's on the – when are you hosting this week for us? You're on 106.7 The Fan all the time.
I am. I'm on – so Tuesdays, this is the other station, so I guess I can say. But Tuesdays during the year, I'll be with Craig Hoffman for like 4:30 to 6. So I'll be in there tomorrow. And then I don't know, 106.7 at some point here.
Okay, cool. That's cool. With Hoff, I didn't know that was a locked-in thing. I think you'll enjoy that. Give me the one player you think under the most pressure here for the Commanders. Maybe it's not a player, because you had a really interesting story earlier this year about the people you thought were under the most pressure. My contention is Jack Del Rio's at the top of the list. Who's yours?
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly make that claim. I mean, I guess, you know, I'll just sort of jump to the head of the line and just say it's Ron Rivera. You know, obviously they haven't had a winning record yet since he's been here. They did make the playoffs that first year, but, you know, I think we all recognize that was a little bit fluky because the division was just so down. He makes this sort of all-in move to get Carson Wentz when a lot of people are questioning where Wentz is at. You know, why did they kind of pay sticker price when you felt like the Colts were probably going to have to move on? That's a pretty aggressive move to make, and at some point, you know, because of the pandemic, his own health issues, everything that goes on with his team, he took over a 3-win team. Like, you give him a little benefit of the doubt to ramp things up. But it's now year 3, right? This roster is essentially his, especially a quarterback. And, you know, what are they going to do? I think, you know, when you talk about the fans, you know, like, it's hard to know what their reaction is going to be. It feels like there's, like, two worlds. There's the world here when you and I are at Park. The players, the coaches, they all seem like they're in great spirits. Like, the idea of a culture change feels legit to me in terms of these guys. But on the outside, everybody's still dealing with the idea of the ownership and subpoenas and Congress and the next NFL report. And that, I think, keeps people away to a degree. And I think that does filter back to the team to some degree. They get revved up by the fans. You know, what kind of questions are we asking? What's just the general vibe? So, you know, it is hard to know exactly where they're at, but ultimately, you know, all that's irrelevant to the extent that Ron Rivera's got to win. He has said that, and, you know, I think that's why there's, to me, the most pressure on him. At some point, you can't just keep saying, we're building. When is this thing? Not saying it's to win the Super Bowl. Get a winning record and at least go from there.
I agree, man. I think I think they can, and I kind of think they will take a good step forward this season. I don't know that it gets them. Like, I think a step forward this season with Carson Wentz is probably positive for the organization. I don't know that it, like, the ultimate, you and I talk about this a lot with the Wizards. Like, are you competing for a title, or are you competing to just be pretty good? I don't know the answer with this Commanders setup, but I think they're putting themselves in a position to win some games. And I think if they can win some games and then the Snyder stuff finally stops, I think they can build some momentum for a new stadium. And I think things could start to kind of move forward. Benny, when's the next pod? Who you got coming on?
Well, I did one yesterday with Santana Moss and Mike Sando, my colleague from The Athletic, who does the quarterback tears article that everybody loves. He was out here today, so he and I talked. That'll be the next one up in the next day or so.
Yeah, Sando walked by my tent as he was going to his car. I think he was really impressed with my setup. Thank you for the time, dude. I appreciate it.
Oh, always, man. I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
All right. Ben Standig, give him a follow, at Ben Standig. When we come back, I've injured myself. Shout out to my guy Timothy Smith, who has listened to the show for 3 hours and 20 minutes. I appreciate you, man. That time spent listening is an important metric, my boss Chris Kynard has told me. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.